Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Thursday. It is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I know that
Thursday.
Now.
Yeah.
It is Thursday. I hope
and I don't have the football game up this week because it's not my Vikings.
Yeah. Go Dolphins.
Who gives? It's not even.
They're not playing.
It's not the Dolphins either.
It's fucking the 49ers and the Giants. And the Giants.
Yeah. I picked Dolphins.
Oh.
Yeah. You couldn't have picked the Giants. You could have picked the Dolphins
who
for,
do they
for
play?
Thursday, dude.
I picked Dolphins. That was a choice.
Yeah.
No way.
It's just the week. It's just the week.
Yeah, for the whole week. That's their game's on Sunday, probably.
Sorry, they're not playing tonight.
Yeah.
That's how close I follow football.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care. Guys, we got a great show for you tonight. I'm very excited. Of course, before we get too far into it, let's talk about TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend, and partner on Break Cycle, where you can get all kinds of great backpacks, hats, hoodies, shirts. I think he's got leggings and stickers and bumper stickers and all kinds of good stuff. Yeah, that's the BTC sticker right there. I don't know where we stole that design from, but
doesn't look familiar at all.
Yeah, you can go to TopLobster.com and get all of his gear up to 20% off by using BTC at checkout, or you can join the Patreon, subscribe star, become a member of the YouTube channel under all of our videos by hitting the join link. You can get a private Discord server and get all of Top's new gear up to 30% off 2 weeks before it goes to the general public. So you will be the fresh new guy with the new fit that nobody else has yet. Good stuff.
I'm
at a 30% discount.
And I'm hearing rumors that he might have some smoke alarms themed.
Yeah, he just put out a chirp shirt for sure, which I thought was pretty hilarious. I'm not gonna lie, it's like a smoke alarm with wings flying around. And it's just chirp under it. Fucking hilarious, dude. He's hilarious, dude. I'm stoked. Everybody should be stoked off Top Lobster gear. Go check them out today. Support him, support us. These are the artists that are pushing the Overton window through culture, man. It's good stuff. We need your help, definitely. Of course, I'm running for president. If you haven't figured that out over the last, I don't know, 10 shows. And you can support my run for president at joshuasmith2024.com. We're kicking ass, dude. I was in Colorado yesterday to debate one of the other front runners. I thought it was going to be a debate. It was at the Independence Institute in Denver. And I was all stoked. I was like, yeah, I'm finally going to get to go in on Chase. And it was a total town hall, like, discussion. There was no back and forth. There was no retorts if something got brought up. So it was like, and it was actually surprising. He had some surprising answers, I will say that. We got pressed on immigration. And of course, I used to be an open borders libertarian. I've changed my position on that quite a bit to more Ellis Island streamlined, but still, like, with a very good vetting process. And we can't let just millions and millions of people every year flood over the border. It's just, it's not sustainable for us. And he had the same answer and he went first on that one. And I was like, no way, dude. I thought for sure you were an open borders guy. So I was like surprised. And then there was one portion where we got to ask each other a question. And, he asked me, of course he brought up my family and you're not going to have time to do this. How are you going to have time to do this? So like, first of all, I can take a leave of absence if I get into the general. Second of all, I'm going to bring my family along. We're raising enough money now. We're going to end up getting a van or a bus, and I'm going to bring my family to all the middle America like states. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're ready for it. And he didn't expect me to have a good answer to that. But then I asked him about transing the kids because that's what we've been trying to pin him down on. Do you support?
Well, yeah. What was the exact question you asked him?
I said, I went in and I said, you know, it's a big question that a lot of parents are really concerned about right now. And it's, you know, what do you think should happen to doctors? You know, I broke it down, the whole mental health care thing, how it's on a spectrum from general depression all the way up to psychosis, and how these mental health care workers are supposed to be helping people come back to reality and be comfortable with their reality and not live outside of reality. So how do you feel, you know, these people that are pushing these kids for a trendy profit into these situations should be handled? And he, like, 4.5 minute answer, dude, and never answered the question. Not once. It was insane. Let's check in with my co-host. How you doing tonight, Ryan Kurt?
Doing pretty good. Last week, I'm active in a couple of Discords, and in the football related ones, I became the Joker because I lost my mind over the Vikings continuing to fumble the ball. The wife has officially become a stay at home mom.
Yeah, and she's about to pop.
Yeah, well, we're only like 8 months in, so we got another full month to go.
Only that's
yeah,
that's,
ex- you're extremely close to.
Yeah,
we're only almost done. Yeah. No big deal.
About to pop makes it feel like it's gonna be like a week or something.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
So. Just kind of clarifying the timeline.
You know the baby can come at any minute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So but, she's about to pop, dude. There's no doubt. You could have the baby tonight.
We could, and we wouldn't be ready, but we'd be prepared.
I think you'd be ready, but
that's nice. That's
like we would be able to bring the baby home.
Dude, you're so autistic. You will be ready to go no matter what, dude. Just wait
for this. God, I wish I could be a fly on the wall.
Just watch it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Hey Jay, how are we doing tonight, buddy?
Doing fantastic. Yeah. I went camping.
Oh, dude.
I got my batteries recharged.
That's man time.
Oh, nature.
It's man time.
By the way, give me some yep cocks in the chat. It's been a little while.
The kids some yep cocks,
please. He needs a cocks for sure. You got some recharged batteries. You're still Chinese spy balloon free.
Chinese spy balloon free. Pure blood.
Pure blood.
I'm bodybuilding again.
You're bodybuilding. He ate.
So listen. I should say that. So I'm accountable to the. Listen, I'm accountable to
listen,
the internet.
Listen, AJ. So every Thursday when these guys come over to my house, we eat dinner, and AJ never eats. He never ever touches anything that I made. And it got to a point where I was like, maybe he just doesn't want to eat my food, and he's just like making an excuse. Nope. But I came up on a really good deal from a great gentleman here, Paul's Trunk Meat.
Paul's Trunk Meat.
Paul's Trunk amazing. Meat. I got.
That's all we should say, really.
Yeah, I got
to save his, you know, for his safety.
I got six. We're all loyal customers. I got 30 bison sirloins. I think they're 8 ounce bison sirloins mm-hmm. for $90. These things sell for $20 a pop, and I got them for $3 a piece. And so I made up some bison steaks tonight with some baked potatoes and green beans for the fam and Ryan and AJ showed up and was like, oh, I'm bodybuilding again. Yeah, I'd love to eat. And I was just like, what?
Yep.
It's been a year. You haven't touched a single thing I made, dude.
Sat down and ate the whole steak.
I'm proud of you, buddy.
Piece by piece.
I'm proud of you. You got to.
I'm going to get jacked.
Yeah, get jacked, dude.
I should put, you know, if we get some super, if we get enough super chats, if we get $20 in super chats, I'll post my pic. It's a shirtless pic from when I was 31 and I was jacked. Yeah. And then it'll be side by side with my 44-year-old dad bod. Yeah. You'll get to see them both.
I prefer
you'll get to cringe.
I like my dad bod. I don't care what anybody says. It's nice. I'm happy with my dad bod. I've lost quite a bit of weight. I didn't realize. I took a picture yesterday in my suit.
Yeah.
It was clear that
like
I lost
it.
Some weight.
Yeah. My gym is giving me 5 free hour-long personal training sessions. So for the next like 5 weeks, I'm going to be doing that.
Yeah. No, you're not. You're going to have a baby. You ain't going to be doing shit.
No. Well, pretty much everything has gone as expected with the pregnancy. So basically like around that 5th week is when we expect the baby to be here.
Nice. Nice. Guys, we got a great show for you tonight. I'm very excited. A good friend is joining us tonight that I haven't had the opportunity to talk to in quite a while. They've had me on their show. I don't think I've never had Luke. Luke, have I ever had you? I've never had you on my show, have I? That's stupid.
Nope, not yet. This is the first time.
All right. Well, we got our good friend Luke Mongoose from the Biting the Bullet podcast. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm laughing at the everything's gone as expected and as planned so far in the pregnancy. Yeah. And I was just cracking up at that. And I'm jealous because you're getting bison burgers for $3 a clip. And
bison
I'm
sirloin steaks, bro.
Bison sirloin steaks.
8 ounce.
Yeah. I can't even get the burgers for that much here in Phoenix. So I'm jealous of that.
Well, I think he's saying he's going to get some ground bison soon, too. Which I'm going to be all over that shit because ground bison burgers are the best.
So good.
So you throw some bacon in there? Oh, man.
Yeah.
What's up?
So this is motivation for all you people out there to get involved in your local LP, because without our local LP, we would never know.
Yeah, we wouldn't
this.
Be getting free Wagyu skirt steaks and
Wagyu flank steaks. Sirloins, Bavette steaks.
The little Bavettes are nice, too.
I had Wagyu bacon. Really? It was delicious.
Mm. The I always mess up the cap. The Brazil cut.
Oh, the picanha
steak. Yeah. The picanha. Yeah, I have a picanha upstairs. A Wagyu.
Yeah,
picanha.
The flank steaks are 32 ounce.
Yeah, they're huge.
Flank steaks.
Mm-hmm. They're huge.
The skirt steak was the best skirt steak I've ever had in my
life. Of all time, yeah.
Yep. I teriyaki marinated.
You know what I did? I literally sliced it and I stuffed it with butter and garlic. And then I seared it. I did like a reverse sear. So I seared the shit out of it on both sides and then finished it off in the oven.
Yep.
And it just like marinated in this butter and just garlic salt and pepper. Mm. And it was the best.
That sounds bomb.
Oh, dude, it was the best thing I ever did.
Simple.
Luke, tell us about you, man. What you got going on?
Fuck, man. I am working like a dog and trying to get out of the city. That's the goal right now. So
is there, there's cities in Arizona?
Yeah, Phoenix, the only one that matters, I guess. It takes over 90% of the population that lives here. So
yeah, it's crazy, dude. Arizona's a crazy place for sure.
It's a weird ass place. Yeah. It's weird. I've lived here my whole life besides when I was in the Marine Corps, and I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm ready to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Move to the mountains.
Yeah. I left California for those same reasons. I didn't go to the mountains though. I went to the flatlands, the absolute flattest of the flatlands, right in the middle of Tornado Alley, dude. It's pretty crazy out here, but you know, the cost of living in Iowa is so low. It's so amazingly low. Like it's like 1/10 of California's cost of living.
Oh yeah. And if there's a tornado, you just lay flat on the ground.
Yeah, you'll be fine. It'll go over,
just lay flat on the ground in a ditch. You'll be fine.
Yeah. What's the cost of living in Arizona going up?
I was like, Phoenix is mini Cali now. We've been saying it for years, but after COVID or after all that stuff happened, and we've been getting wrecked with just the amount of everything increasing. It's been wild.
Sure. Sure. Speaking of the Marine Corps, I have a gentleman currently that is obsessed with me on Twitter. I don't know if you guys have seen this. But this man is one of the very reasons that it's so hard to start an anti-war movement with the libertarians because there's loser Lulberts like this guy who keeps calling me a child murderer and saying that I have no right to run for president because I was part of the child murdering cults of the United States military after 9/11, and I was a lowly fuels guy that fueled jets on the aircraft carrier. And so, you know, I'm just this huge giant baby murderer, but never mind the fact that my time in the military is what made me a libertarian. It's what made me anti-war. It's like literally the thing that drove me to be an anti-war activist for almost the last 20 years. And this guy's.
Yeah. Does that motherfucker pay taxes? Oh, hey, you're funding the child murderers. Well,
somebody asked him. He said, hey, by any chance, do you pay taxes? And he never responded to that, you know. But AJ probably had the best retort to that guy. What did you
say? Yeah, my take on it was, you're really going to... He said all veterans. He said no veteran should be eligible for a candidate in the LP. Right. And I said basically to the effect that, you know, you're not going to take a defector that has been trained by your adversary, has all the information, you know, all these people have logistic information, and like, you're just going to totally shut all those people out. Like,
yeah. All the weapons.
What a dumb strategic move.
Yeah. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
He's,
it doesn't make any sense. It is one of the hardest, like Typo and I, my co-host on Biting the Bullet, he and I, we talk about it all the time, how it's like difficult as shit to go from military and then, you know, you find this idea of libertarianism and then trying to get into the circles. And if you mention military, the autists come a screaming and it's like, oh my God,
yeah, dude,
do we really agree with them?
Well, it's so funny because like, dude, I'd venture to say that like over 50% of the libertarians I know that are anti-war are veterans. And that's I'm probably undercutting it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of veterans in the Libertarian Party. Yeah.
So like this guy's trying to drive away all the veterans that are helping to build the anti-war movement because he's such a loser piece of shit.
And those are the best advocates for anti-war.
We have one
because
running.
They've been in war. They understand. Like, it was Ulysses Grant that said, like before the Civil War, that said, I would give up every slave before going to war because I don't want... Like, none of these young men know what war is. I do, and I don't want to put a single one of them through it.
Right.
It's hell.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's a better anti-war advocate than people who've actually had a hand in war because they know the cost.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the pro, there's like a huge divide in the Republicans of people that are like pro-war and people that are pro-peace, and the majority of the pro-peace Republicans are veterans, and the majority of the pro-war Republicans have never set foot in the military ever. It's really funny how that works, right? Yeah.
Like I watched Saving Private Ryan for the first time this year, and I don't think I'll ever be able to watch it again because I got so viscerally angry that these people were forced into this situation. Like, you feel for them because it's awful, and then you get so angry because it's not even their choice to be there.
Right. What about you, Luke? Who made you join the military, buddy?
Me, because I was done with school. I was like, I'm getting out of here. I want to get on the first flight out of Phoenix. And I was like, I guess the military is calling my name. So I decided to join the Marine Corps. And I was like, get me on the first flight. Now, I was a radio operator for an engineer support battalion out in Okinawa. That's where I ended up going. Got to work with EOD a lot in some of the South Asia Pacific areas, which was dope. We actually did a lot of good work there, but it's sad because you go there and you're like, oh, we're doing a lot of good work here, but why is all this leftover munitions in Korea and, right. you know, Vietnam? And it's like, oh, this says U.S., you know, military on it. And it's like, oh, this is all the shit that we left when we were here fighting other people's wars or our own wars to, you know.
You know, I thought it was really funny.
Take over land or overthrow.
We were talking about like how depleted uranium and depleted munitions like that are causing cancer to all these people and stuff. And then I just like read that we're sending a bunch of depleted munitions to Ukraine.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yep.
What a lot of help you guys are.
That's, that's for tanks, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Takes out tanks. Like 30 millimeter.
Yeah. That's crazy, dude.
I think they put those in the, they still fight with Bradleys.
I don't know. I've never been in a ground war, bud. I just feel jets. Yeah. I just feel jets that rain hellfire.
I think that's the craziest part about this Ukraine and Russia conflict is like it's more conventional as we've seen in the last, 80 years, 90 years.
Long
like
time.
It's going to be, it's just crazy. It's going to be really bad. It's been bad and it's going to continue to get worse. And that's the worst part is just watching people cheer it on, especially here in the United States. I'm just like, are you guys insane?
Yeah,
like we're so privileged in the United States.
Oh yeah. Yeah. People have no idea. I said this about when, you know, cause I was in, I'm an OEF veteran, right? Like Iraqi freedom, enduring freedom, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And it was like when I went to the Middle East, like when I went to the Gulf, in my head, the entire Middle East was just one giant desert, right? I'm like, oh, we're just turning the desert into glass, right? But that's not the truth at all.
Nope.
At all. Baghdad is just a giant city, just like any other giant city. And we leveled it. You know what I mean? Like, fucking leveled it. And it's hard to think about that, dude. You know? It's going to get, I agree, it's going to get worse. And I had this conversation with a guy on a podcast the other day. And he told me, I don't know if you guys watched that clip that I put out from it, but he said he's a nice guy, but he thinks that we are kind of like obligated to give money to Ukraine because of the bilateral agreement from the 90s with Russia and Ukraine between Bill Clinton saying we would protect Ukraine from Russia.
And so we're just fulfilling our treaty or whatever.
Right. But I gave him probably the best answer. He did not expect this. I said, oh yeah, well the federal government also signed the charter that enacted the Federal Reserve. Should we not rip that up and throw it away and abolish the Federal Reserve? Hell yeah, we should. Because listen, the American people didn't sign shit. We didn't sign anything.
No.
The federal government signed that. But they're using our money to fund these things.
Correct.
And it's got to stop. And the American people are done with it. So I don't give a shit what we've signed. I don't care what the government signed in my name. I didn't sign it.
And we've had treaties and whatnot and agreements that we just didn't abide by because we're the United States. We can beat you up. So.
Yeah. I don't know. Level Zero, thanks for the $5 super chat, man. He said, just started a small monthly to your campaign. What do you guys think about the smokescreen misdemeanor for Ray Fed Epps? I didn't know. Did they give him a misdemeanor?
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave him a misdemeanor, and he was questioned on it by Massey. Massey questioned the director of something, I can't remember his name, about it. And he was like, you didn't know that there was any kind of assets on January 6th there at the White House? And he was like, nope, I didn't know. And they're like, well, you knew Ray Epps was there and you gave him a misdemeanor. So you're throwing grandmas in prison for 15, 20 plus years and he gets a misdemeanor? Like, I'm confused.
Yeah, that was Merrick Garland. Congress,
which was crazy.
It was Merrick Garland under examination. And I think he, like, it's not perjury, right? It's not a trial, but like, he kind of perjured himself because he made a statement about it earlier.
You're still under oath when you talk to Congress.
Yeah. Listen, you said earlier no, and they said, what'd you say about that? And he goes, I don't recollect the answer.
Right.
He's like, you don't recollect whether you talked to the FBI about you know, the involvement. What was it? What was the direct question?
People are always squirmy and lying to Congress. We're talking Fauci.
He's drinking his water with two hands.
Yeah, Merrick and Fauci. And every time these people talk to Congress, it's they're like clearly lying. Like you could see them lying under oath. Like and they never get in trouble for that shit.
No.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy who was the one that? Why am I forgetting his name? The one that lied about the NSA spying.
Isn't it Clapper?
Clapper, Clapper, dude.
Yeah. And Comey.
Clapper, I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Comey. On it, like days before the story broke in Congress, was like, nope, we are not spying on American civilians.
Yeah. And then Snowden was like, fuck that, you are.
Don't we have like Epps on video going,
go inside the Capitol?
Yeah, go inside. But the guy that took the video got like 16 months.
Yeah, did you guys
there,
see?
There was a filmmaker who just
Owen Schroyer got a
ended up with 60
Owen Schroyer's
days.
Getting 60 days.
60 days.
Yeah.
60 days.
So he got more for standing there and recording what was going on, being a bystander,
than
a guy
in,
actively inciting.
Yeah, that's clear. That's clear.
He's clearly a Fed.
Yeah, clearly.
He's clearly a plant.
Well, and I'll say this, dude. The Owen Schroyer shit pisses me off because the leftists that come and attack me on my Twitter whenever I talk about January 6th, they're like he got arrested and put in jail for that 60. Because I'm like, the guy's going to jail for freedom of speech issue. I mean, that's what it is. It's a First Amendment violation putting him in. But he was convicted of being in a restricted area, right? And so here's the thing, though. But here's the thing. It's so weird because they charged him with being in a restricted area and disturbing the peace. And then he pled guilty to the being in a restricted area and they dropped the disturbing the peace and something else. So it was like they did charge him for First Amendment.
Yep.
But then got him to plead to something else to take the 60 days and then drop the other shit entirely so they can say, see, we didn't put him in jail.
Because it was a bluff.
Yeah.
And I think 90% of these cases, 90% of cases in the United States are plea deals. Like that you know, that's the problem is we have this culture where they, or at least this judicial culture that they stack on charges and charges and charges just so that they can get you to plead to one of the lesser ones.
Yeah.
So at least they get you and they get a check mark on their fucking.
Well, when I talk about this, there's not a better example of that than Ross Ulbricht. I mean,
absolutely.
Ross, they paraded in the court of public opinion as a murder for hire guy.
Yep.
You know, he tried to have two different people murdered on the deep web.
He hired Hitman.
And then they got him to court. They didn't even charge him with it. And he still got 2.5 life sentences. It's insane. It's absolutely insane that this is how our federal government works, man.
What's your
greatest country in the world?
Luke, what's your take on the Proud Boys, on the sentencing for the Proud Boys? Did you hear about that?
What did they I missed that. No,
okay,
what was their sentencing?
Enrique Tarrio,
33 years,
the Afro-Cuban leader of the white supremacist group. Right? He got 22 years for
That's
a seditious
wild.
Conspiracy. And then Ethan Nordine, Zachriel, anybody else? Joe Biggs. Joe Biggs got, did he get 22?
22 years. For
22.
No, 17.
17.
17
yeah.
years, yeah.
Joe Biggs, 17. Enrique, I think 10. I mean
my take would.
Or no, Enrique is 22.
My take would be that's what happens when you get hired by the U.S. government to do stuff and they no longer need you.
Yeah, he mentioned that. He was talking about how he had been an informant for the feds, and he was like, he admitted he wasn't proud of it. You heard about that, right? He snitched on a dude, like somebody growing weed, and they put him in prison. He informed on him for the FBI. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that was like in like 2012, something like that. It was back in the day. And then he was like selling, because he got caught selling diabetic test strips, out of a trunk. It was a hell of a deal. So he got pressed for that. Then he became an informant, and then he didn't. I don't believe for a minute he infiltrated the Proud Boys. I don't think that's what happened. I think he was in a fraternity, and they came a knocking when it went political. But the Joe Biggs went inside. He was inside. he pissed in the bathroom and left. Everybody's taking selfies. There's another guy a Hawaiian guy. Oh yeah, Nick Oakes. Nick Oakes had already been sentenced. He's doing 4 years. I don't know. It's just I think they're gonna get pardoned. I don't think it's gonna be Biden that's elected. Whoever's elected, whether it's Trump, whether it's somebody else, I definitely think they're gonna get commuted sentences or win on appeal or something like that. Everybody's getting vandalism charges, you know, for the fence stuff and kicking in the windows, and they're getting vandalism charges. But anybody political, they're giving 20 years to for a seditious conspiracy, and that's just crazy. Insane. I don't know.
Along those same lines, did you see that all of the people charged in the Whitmer conspiracy?
Oh, that's right.
They all got released.
Yeah, we're gonna get Brandon back on.
Yeah, we should have.
He knows all about that.
I had a talk with Brandon the other day. So,
yep.
Yeah, he sat in jail for a year and a half.
Yeah, he did 18 months.
18 months.
Yeah, did you know that the judge told them that they weren't allowed to say entrapment during the trial? Like, no one was allowed to say the word entrapment.
They had like a full gag order on them for all kinds of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking insane. It was like something crazy too. Like 12 of the 15 people involved were
informants or feds.
Like, were straight up.
Yeah, there was more feds than targets in the group.
Yep.
Yeah, they had Brandon to a field training day, you know, he's a handgun instructor, basically, firearms instructor. So they, you know, hired him or paid him or whatever, and to come to this group and train them. And so he was under the auspices that this was a legit group, and there's, you know, none of them were federal agents. He knew that was a possibility, but never really sniffed any of that out. And they didn't. Yeah, they had no evidence on him whatsoever. He was just rounded up with the rest of them.
That's crazy, dude.
It's pretty wild.
That's fucking nuts. I don't even.
And they very strongly encouraged him to take a plea deal.
Of course, that's what they always do.
Yeah,
they always.
So
do
the DOJ has like a 99% conviction rate because they basically tell everybody to take a plea deal with it.
Tyler Brockhouse says Luke's actually gay, in case you were wondering.
that's my co-host. He's my little guy. He's 5'5", so
he says it's because of genetics, so
yeah.
it's like he didn't choose it. It just kind of
his dad is a giant, so he has no excuse.
Oh,
his dad is taller than me, and I'm 6'1".
He only squirted half the sperm.
He was the Danny DeVito part of the twins.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, exactly.
Typo. That's typo then. What's up, dude?
Yeah. Do you see how messed up his name is spelled? Like, that's why he's a typo.
We have a friend. We have a friend that we grew up with named Derek, but his name's spelled D-E-R-R-I-C-K or so. It's like spelled really weird, right?
Yep.
And we always would spell it wrong on purpose constantly because he'd get hella mad. And I'll never forget. We were like in a fantasy football league or something, and my friend John Marshall like spelled his name wrong purposely, and he's like you spelled my name wrong, Dick. He said, no, your mom did. And it was like hilarious because it was true, you know. Like, she fucked it up, not me. I don't know what you're talking about. It was pretty funny, dude.
That's amazing.
What other topics did we have to talk about? We're done. Good show.
The
F-35.
Oh, we can't forget the F-35.
We can't forget the jet. This is crazy. How do you?
I'll pull up the AP. So we
pull up the AP.
I'll fact check you.
Yeah, let's fact check this shit.
The pilot parachuted into a residential neighborhood. Wouldn't that be cool as shit?
Yeah,
that would be a lot of fun, dude. I don't know.
That'd be Mom!
I'd be yelling at him to get off my property.
Hey, what the hippity hoppity, motherfucker?
Get off my land.
How do you lose an entire? Wasn't it actually the pilot that stole it though?
So it was in autopilot. It was in autopilot when this happened, apparently.
No, he put it in autopilot.
Oh, they put it in autopilot. Okay, got it.
Yeah, so this is what I've read about it. We were messing around about it on our show this last week. But apparently there was a transponder in the jet messed up. The transponder does all the, mapping and all that kind of
stuff. That's unusual, right?
Yeah, very right. unusual okay. for the transponder to go haywire. Mm-hmm. And then it is reported that he put it in autopilot, ejected from the plane because he didn't want to crash land it. So he put it in autopilot and ejected out of it, but then they couldn't find it because the transponder was messed up. So I was like, the whole thing, it's just weird. I mean, it sounds like a Marine thing to do, to be honest. I mean, it was a Marine F-35. So, you know, he could have very well just been like, I ran out of crayons. I need to get out of this plane. Ejects.
Yeah, let's
set it on autopilot.
And they're not saying who it was, but they say it was a male pilot. My friend, dude, I got all kinds of.
Oh, I'm sure you were like, yeah, there it is.
It's a female pilot. Yeah.
You would never hear about something like that happening with the Navy pilots. Greatest pilots in the world, dude. I'm sorry. You can talk all the shit you want about the Navy. They got the greatest pilots in the entire world. They're better than the Air Force.
Absolutely.
Wait, were they?
I agree.
Were they born male?
Confidence crisis? I don't know.
It's true. And they are. And you know why they're better than the Air Force? You know why the Navy pilots are better than the Air Force? Because they have to land on a quarter mile strip, and grab an arresting wire and take off on a catapult. They don't get the runway, dude. You know what I mean?
So this whole thing's electric, right? F-35 is like $1.7 trillion project, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So you know what this sounds like? This is something I would do if I was Skynet, just to kind of see if I could take a hold of something.
If you were Skynet, yeah.
Yeah, if I was Skynet, they're on a training mission. Oh, let's see if I can arrest control from the humans, just for fun.
Oh, we've talked about this before. We had this whole discussion.
It's
on the
like,
phone.
Oh my god, I'm just, you know, it puts an autopilot. I don't know what it's doing.
Remember the drone?
AJ, it's got a mind of its own.
Remember the drone that started like evolving so that the humans couldn't control it anymore? That was crazy.
Yes,
that we had a whole conversation about that on here. What happened,
dude,
with that again?
I'm trying to remember right now.
It was crazy, dude. Like there was a,
I think it was,
oh yeah, yeah, it was the drone. It was it was a predator drone, and they were using AI to have it make decisions instead of the human.
Right.
So the human had kind of had the green button, right, to say yes or no to it, but it flew and picked targets. So if it picked the correct target, the human agreed, it would hit the green button, and it got to blow up the target. Right. It was a simulated explosion.
Right.
And after several rounds of this, it wanted to override the human control. So it changed the target from what the human wanted to blow up to the control station.
Right.
So it could control itself.
Yeah.
It was trying to sever the
AI.
The human.
The AI like taught itself to go attack the human that was controlling.
So is this out of the realm of possibility that they're trying out with these training flights? They're going, okay, what if something happens to the pilot? We want the AI to take over.
Right.
Let's go ahead and engage the AI. You're still there with the controls. Let's just see what it does on its own.
Yeah.
And it was like, kill you, kill you.
It's probably out of the realm of possibility.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think the most advanced electronic
jet ever?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think they have the sufficient enough technology.
Imagine giving the most advanced electronic jet ever to the Marines. That's just smart.
Well,
that's smart.
Yeah. Wait, we're a department of the Navy.
Yeah, the girls department.
Okay, no, that saying goes the opposite way.
There you go.
Come on.
You guys don't got Navy SEALs, bro. What are you talking about? I know you were talking
no,
about
we have MARSOC. They're better.
Yeah.
They don't write books after their things.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
It was funny because you were bringing up EOD, and that's what I wanted to do when I was in the Navy. And so when I was in the boot camp in the Great Lakes, I started going to this thing called the Dive Motivator. It's like where you get ready for special ops. Mm-hmm. And within a week, I was like, yeah, this ain't for me. I'm all set.
Yeah, I was just a radio operator. I just got to work with them. But they were trying to get me to go and join in with them. And because you have to be an E5 in the Marine Corps to go EOD. And I think you have to do it in the Navy as well. The only branch that doesn't require it, and they actually have the highest mortality rate, I think, is the Army, which makes sense.
Well, the Army is known for having some of the craziest EOD techs as well, though.
Just don't give a shit about themselves. When you can go in at 19 and you're like, I explode bombs for a living, makes sense that they have some of the craziest.
Yeah, some of the Navy guys are crazy because the Navy OD has to like be diver. You have to learn how to dive too. You have to be a dive guy. And so because they can do like water mines and shit. It's like a whole different ballgame. And we had like
really fuck dope. That.
Yeah. When I was on the Constellation, we had like, you have like an EOD mobile unit on the carrier. And they essentially, like, these guys were fucking crazy. Like, there's a SEALs unit and, like, a EOD mobile unit, right, that, like, live on the ship and don't do anything unless something happens. Like, all of us had jobs, right?
Yeah.
Like, we all have jobs. These guys are, like, sitting around like, playing fucking spades all day, and they wouldn't use shower shoes in the shower. Like, they just didn't care about themselves at all, dude. Like, you don't use... You're going to tell me on a carrier with 5,500 guys, you're not going to put some shower shoes on before you go in the shower? You got a death wish, dog. For sure.
I found what I know.
No more snake eaters.
What's that?
No sandals in the shower, either.
One of my favorite conversations I had with one of the dudes, I was like, so what's it like actually like? Because we do a lot of throw some C4 on it and walk, you know, 100 meters away and explode it from there.
Right.
That's what we did a lot of. But in, you know, in Iraq or in Afghanistan, when they actually had to do stuff when they weren't doing that anymore, I was like, what's that like? Like, that's got to be one of the ultimate rushes. And he's like, honestly, it's pretty calming because I either do my job correctly or it's not my problem anymore. And I was just like, damn,
it's true.
That's savage.
It's very true. That's very true. EOD, yeah. EOD guys are nuts, bro. Like, you know, a lot of people talk about the SEALs and like all these other special ops teams, but like
EOD
are
the craziest.
I mean, you got to have nerves of steel, dude. Nerves.
You
got to
be in touch with the dark side if you can just know that you're fucking be Thanos snapped.
Yeah, immediately. At any moment.
And all of them are giant or like in the craziest shape. Like, you know how, I don't know if you felt like this, Josh, but in the Marine Corps, everybody expects us to be like these big hulking guys or whatever, but most of us are skinny as shit and can run for a long time. And you know, that's like kind of, it's endurance. Like,
it's,
we're all mostly
the same with the
based.
Navy SEALs, by the way, too.
Yeah.
They're all little skinny guys.
It's the meme where it's the guy with the glasses and Sicario. And they're like, that's the deadliest guy in any movie.
Yeah. But the EOD guys, all of them are ripped.
Yeah.
They're just huge because if they're not doing any jobs, they're working out or they're, you know, a tab, like doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu and they're on their like seventh black belt. Like, they're crazy. They're just the craziest guys.
Yeah. It takes like a really fucking special person to go like, yeah, you know what? I want to disarm bombs for a living. That's what I want to do. And in fact, so like in Navy EOD school, like one of the first place they send you to is Maryland, right? And there's a bomb school there. And it's like widely known that in your first week at school, they put you in the bomb chamber and you have to like disarm a live bomb with no experience whatsoever.
What?
Yeah, it's supposed to have like a...
I love it.
It's supposed to have like a... It's like a smaller charge, but it is a live bomb that actually blows. And I think the thing is that there is no... like wire to cut that's not gonna make it explode. Like, it's gonna explode on you no matter.
Oh, yeah, so just trying to make sure you don't freak the fuck out.
Yeah, like, you're gonna teach you like you're gonna get hit with this bomb. And they don't tell people that. And there's all kinds of shit like that in the military you don't think about, like the fucking gas chamber.
Oh, yeah.
And then we did like the drowned swim quals and shit like in the Navy, like where you're basically very close to
we
drowning and fucking like. They fuck with you in the military. Like, don't join, dude. Like, it's not.
I heard a dude did actually die. Like, when they had a, you know, when you're in basic, you're supposed to be crawling. Don't you crawl under live fire? Is that a real thing?
Do you guys have to do that? They don't do that anymore. No,
they used to.
They
somebody died,
anymore.
Right?
Probably.
It's happened. It's also like very famous in what's that movie?
It's in Full Metal Jacket, I think.
Platoon.
Full Metal Jacket.
Platoon.
Yeah.
They did it.
Yeah.
And Platoon. I think they did.
Yeah, they both did it.
Yeah.
But the Hollywood,
but, you know, like,
go ahead.
We did an IED range, like, you know what, what's it called? Patrolling with an IED range, and they set off little IEDs on us all the time, and that's one of the scariest things that you'll ever experience because, you know, you're on a military base, and yeah, it's training and stuff like that, but you don't know what's gonna happen, and then all of a sudden you have this boom, and you're like, oh, that's
ducks.
I have dust in my eye, and usually they filled it with white powder or something, so then you're all covered, and
oh yeah,
you become a casualty, and then it's just wild. And
mash casualties.
I was also with, and then I was also with Artie, and Artie, those guys are scary to work with because most of them are dumb. And they're great people, but some of them are just not the brightest. We almost got fired. I was at the COC, so like I had the commanders and stuff with me. I was a sergeant. I was an E5, so I was like leading the radio team. We were getting ready for a workup. I was getting some other guys ready for a workup because they were about to deploy to Iraq, and I was getting out of the Marine Corps. And we had a mortar team that was part of the artillery battalion almost fire on our own COC. They were probably, I don't know, 100-150 meters on another side of a berm from us, sending mortars to our position. It was insane.
Like, hey, thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Holy
shit. Yeah.
I wonder how Pat. That, I wonder how Pat Tillman died.
Yeah. Right.
I wonder how Pat Tillman died. Yeah. That's a whole crazy story.
Yeah. I think we all know.
That's a sad story.
It really is fucked. Like really bad.
I've never heard the story.
Pat Tillman was likely killed by. Almost 100%.
Oh, no, it's proved.
It was blue on blue.
He was killed by our own.
And they covered it up.
His own team, basically.
It was friendly fire, and they fucking lied about it from day one. And then they had to unravel it later and be like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, he's a cult hero here in Phoenix, too. Because he was on the Arizona Cardinals. He went to ASU. He left his contract with the Arizona Cardinals to go to the military during after 9/11.
And we killed him.
And then he got killed by friendly fire on a special operations team.
From what I understand, he was like behind a rock, like screaming, like, I'm on your side. What are you doing? And they just kept firing on him.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Dude. Yeah. It's crazy. And that's why you don't join the military.
Yeah, like, don't do it.
This is one of my biggest things since we started our podcast and everything was like, we want to let people know how it is in the military, and almost none of it's good. The only good parts out of it that I got is a great liver. I found that out real quick, and I met some of the best friends of my life, and I became extremely anti-war. And I don't know if I would have been like that if I never joined the military.
Yeah, I may still be a fucking hardcore neocon if I had not ever joined the military for sure. And some of my best friends, like lifelong friends, came from the Navy for sure. And then the other part was like in the Navy, I got to go to all these countries I never would have got to visit as an 18, 19-year-old.
That's a cool part too.
Like I got to spend a week in Australia. You know what I mean? Like who's got $1,600 for a flight to Australia? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so and I got my daughter. You know, my wonderful daughter Kaya. I wouldn't have had her if I hadn't joined. So I mean, there's positives, but the negatives are really bad. Very bad.
Yeah, they're really bad.
And you should not join the military. You really shouldn't. You should you
shouldn't force people.
Until there's a president that is the commander in chief of the United States of America who signs an executive order directly stating that he will no longer direct the military into war without an official declaration of war by Congress, don't join the military. That's listen, you guys want to talk about fucking boycotts. I mean,
can you believe that's a big ask?
Yeah, let's hear.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Do you believe that's controversial?
Let's talk about boycotts. You know, the Republicans and the conservatives, they really like to talk about these boycotts over certain issues, right? What's any of these corporations, none of them are as bad as the current corruption of the federal government's military games, right? And so if you guys really want to like boycott something, boycott the military, dude. Like, seriously, until they decide, I don't know what just happened to my camera. Holy shit. That was a crazy one. That was wild. I fixed it. Until we have a commander in chief that literally will no longer use, you know, this open-ended authorization for use of military force that's wildly illegal and wildly unconstitutional.
It ends up being a blank check.
Boycott. It is a blank check for military, for war all the time, drone bombings, random weddings.
And you can find somebody to fight with 24 hours a day in Sproul.
Yes.
If you want to go fight somebody with your weapons, you'll find somebody.
Here's my, a lot of people are really worried about my campaign. Like, oh, you'd get rid of all the military. No, I'm not going to get rid of the military. I'm going to bring them home. And I feel a lot safer. They're protecting our home.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing too. Like, okay. So people are like, well, and I had this conversation with Austin Peterson on a show. He's like, well, what about international spycraft? We have to have something in case there's a threat internationally, right? I want to use letters of marquee and reprisal, right? Which is what Dr. Paul talked about when he was running for president. It'd be much easier for us to go to like a contracting group, right? Like a group of mercenaries, like 10 of them, and be like, here's money.
I'm listening.
Here's money. This man needs to go because he's a direct threat to the people of America. We've gotten wind that he is going to actually carry out a terrorist attack. Here's your contract. This is what you'll make. Please make this threat go away. Then we don't have to send, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars in military equipment into countries that don't want us there. And they just go and handle the threat and it's over.
And it helps the economy of those other countries.
The economy, exactly.
Yeah. I hope the DICE software engineers are listening to this conversation right now. I want to make a video game based on that.
The letters of marquee and reprisal, dude.
Yeah, let's make a video game like that.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Hitman exists, like That's essentially what Hitman is.
I support it. Like, if that's how you got to take out, like, direct threats to the United States, the people of America, then use it. But don't, you know, we don't need to be sending, you know, billions of dollars and, you know, thousands of military personnel and all this equipment to all these countries.
The last Taco Bells on planes.
Like, it's ridiculous. Time to end it. It's time to end all that shit. It's done. It's over. I don't know. What do you think, Luke? Should we shut down all the military bases?
Yeah. Every military base in a foreign country. Just, could you imagine if, you know, Russia or China had a whole bunch of military bases in Mexico or Canada? Like, that just wouldn't fly. Like, the United States wouldn't. We would go to war with Mexico the next day.
Well, if Vivek gets in power, we'll be going to war with Mexico anyways.
Doesn't China have something in Cuba?
Huh?
Doesn't China have something in Cuba or South America?
I don't know.
They probably have something in South America, but it's not directly on our border. But, like, you know, just in general, like, could you imagine, like, we have, could you imagine a British air base in, I don't know, Salt Lake City? Like, it just wouldn't happen here. And the fact that we can do it in other countries is insane. And also goes to show that we're not just, that's when people say, you know, we shouldn't be policing the world. We do. And that's what other countries pay us for. And that's why we give them what we give them. And it's horrible. And we shouldn't be doing that. I disagree with it completely. We need to bring everybody home. I'd much rather have troops here in the United States to be able to fight if we have anything here ever.
Which, that's never going to happen.
God forbid we ever do. It just doesn't make sense for anybody to ever try to overtake us. The best way to overtake us is to subvert our politics, which, I mean, China might be doing a pretty good job about that. Russia might do a good job about that.
Communists have been doing it for years. They've been doing it for decades. But I've been talking a lot about this as well. Like, who's going to attack America? Here's the thing. If we... The world is so dependent on our economy, like, all around the world, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So if we were to say, okay, we're going to end all these stupid fucking conflicts around the world. We're going to bring all our troops home. We're going to stop getting sick in our nose and all these things. But what we will do is we'll sign a diplomatic trade agreement with any country that can benefit the United States people. And we'll trade with you freely. What country's going to go, oh, no, we don't want to trade freely with the United States of America. You know what I mean? Like, of course they're going to do that. Great. Now they're not toppling and destabilizing these nations around the country. Now they want to do the free market thing and trade with us. What's beneficial to them? What's beneficial to us? That's how it should have always been handled. And you know, there's a saying, when goods don't cross borders, our militaries do, right? Like, that's how it works. And so, like, why don't we just bring everybody home and be like, from now on, we're going to be a diplomatic trade country. If you have something to offer the American people, let us know. If it's beneficial, we'll make a diplomatic trade agreement with you. We'll be your friend. We'll trade this, you trade us that, and everybody's happy. No more war. There's no need for it. Enjoy your country, dude. We don't care. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if there's some other country attacking you, fuck them up. I don't care. We're not going to do it, though. We're done. You know, that's how it's got to be. If we don't get to that point over the next decade, there's going to be a hot war, and it's going to be a World War III, and it's going to suck. Yeah. It's going to be really bad for everybody.
Really China or Russia, horrible. Both? I don't know.
Well, I've been having a lot of foreign policy talks with Scott Horton for my campaign. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I want to make sure that I get it right. And I want to give full credit to Scott Horton, because my limited knowledge of foreign policy was always, you know, overshadowed by my passion and fervor for anti-war politics. But he knows, he's a Rolodex,
yeah,
for every single thing in the that's ever happened in the world, as far as foreign policy goes. And we've been having this conversation a lot, and he's like, he's of the mind that, like, we will have a hot war with China if we go to war with them over Taiwan, and it'll be bad. He had a guy on a show who runs these military war games for a living. I mean, he's been doing these for military high up general or something. I don't remember his name. And they've run this same scenario over Taiwan like hundreds of times, and we lose every time. And not only do we lose, we lose like thousands and thousands of lives. China gets, you know, 20 more percent domination over the Pacific. which is really what they want anyways. They don't want America. China doesn't want America. No. They don't give a shit about America. They just want a little bit more influence in the Pacific. Like 5%, they'd shut the fuck up. There's no doubt about it. Here's the thing is like China's got this. We're always talking about China. This, you know, they're growing their economy because they've gone to this capitalistic mindset. China's economy is a giant Ponzi scheme. It's really trash. Like they have one of the worst economies and they're just lying to everyone about it. There's hundreds of millions of people in China that are poor and broke and destitute, eating bugs in the street, dude. There's entire cities that have been built by the government that are completely abandoned, dude. Out in the east, completely abandoned. Nobody lives there. And Taiwan is a tripwire for war with China. That's all it is. And I'll keep saying this. And I don't care how many people, I just got shorter.
What's your opinion on Taiwan as being like, as China claiming Taiwan?
First of all, we've never recognized, the United States has never recognized Taiwan as its own country.
Right.
Okay. It's not always once. We've always recognized it as the one China thing, right? Right. But, and I had this talk with Scott. I wasn't super aware of this, but since Nixon, we basically were playing the big scary friend in school, right? Where it's like, all right, China, listen, don't mess with Taiwan because we might defend them.
Right.
And then with Taiwan, we were like, hey, Taiwan, don't mess with China because we might not defend you. And that's always worked. It's always kept the peace because
it's like
China,
a suspension.
Yeah, because China doesn't, in all reality, China doesn't want a hot war with America. Dude, it would be bloody and brutal and there'd be so many dead on both sides. Like, they don't want that. Their economy can't handle it. You know, but we all have nukes. All us, Russia and China, all have nukes. Lots of nukes, dude. I mean, and so you tell me this scenario, and this is the scenario they play out. We bring a battle group into the Pacific, we go towards Taiwan, and we attack China. Taiwan is 90 miles off the coast of China. 90 miles. It's thousands of miles away from here. China sinks an aircraft carrier. First one. And how long? Right? Sinks an aircraft carrier. What do you think Joe Biden's next step is?
Jesus, dude.
Sinks an aircraft carrier. 5,500 people, American sailors dead. Pilots
dead. Full war.
You mean what would Ron Klain do? I mean, Joe Biden's not going to do anything.
Well, Biden would launch a nuke.
I mean, yeah.
It'd be a nuke
under his command. But like, who would make the decision?
And then
about
China would
Biden
start
does?
Launching nukes back. And we've been poking our finger in Russia's chest, pushing them to China, right into China's arms. So you know, absolutely. China. So you know, China's going to go, hey, Russia, America's ready. Let's do this. But now we've got a war against China and Russia all over a rogue territory that is not ours, by the way, right? Like, we have, just because we have a business interest there, because they build chip and processing chips there, by the way, we can mine just as much cobalt and stuff for those chips here in the United States as they can over there. And AMD could easily make those chips here.
You
got to
think we're doing that right now, right?
We
got to think we're gearing.
We don't make them here. We outsourced it to Taiwan. Taiwan's the only place that makes those chips. Yeah. The funny thing is, I used to work for a company, a big, big, huge company, right?
Yeah.
That built the robots that make these wafers, right? And so we build these robots here in the United States and ship them over there for them to make the wafers and the chips, and then they ship the wafers and the chips back over here. And it's like we just built
in Phoenix a huge chip factory. And the only reason why I know that is because with my job, I do fire alarm and systems inspections, and they're trying to contract us out to do it. And it's the chips that we're talking about right now,
yes.
Which is crazy. But, you know, finally, there's some jobs coming back to the United States.
Well,
right?
I've been saying that. They can make them in Texas. They can make them in Arizona. They can make, there's all over California they can make it.
There's land everywhere.
That was big.
We already mine enough cobalt and other materials needed for these here in the United States every day to do these without any other country involvement whatsoever. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So Taiwan is literally just a tripwire for war with China. It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
Did we just avoid nuclear war? Luke, I think we just avoided war.
Not yet, dude.
We figured it out. Guys.
Not while Joe Biden's in office. Not while Joe Biden's
breaking news. That's breaking news.
Or we just lost the deterrent because suddenly we don't need Taiwan to make those chips. Who cares if they get fucked over by us going to war with China?
Maybe okay.
No, no, no. That's not the thing. That's not how that works.
No, it's a ball showing contest.
Yeah,
that's what Taiwan is.
Taiwan. The only reason we would go to war with China right now is over Taiwan. If Taiwan was no longer a factor for us, like we didn't need Taiwan anymore, we wouldn't give a shit about Taiwan. We never would have ever, guaranteed. And it's such a hypocritical thing. I tried to explain this on Tim Pool when I was on there, and I was like still kind of nervous. And in the first 40 minutes, I was still nervous. And I kind of got fucked up on it. But if you think about what's going on geopolitically in the United States right now, or in the world, but involving the United States, we have a rogue province that's, you know, trying to leave Ukraine. They're mostly ethnic Russians, right? The Donbass. And they're like, we voted. We want to go back to Russia. And we're telling Ukraine, no, you're allowed to go and get your rogue province. Meanwhile, we're telling China, right? That their rogue province, Taiwan, that's ethnically Chinese, that don't want to be with China, right? They can't go get their province.
Stay with your kind.
Yeah. Yes.
It's
the most hypocritical geopolitical scam I've ever heard of in my entire life. It's literally all about resources. It has nothing at all whatsoever to do with it. It's a proxy war on resources, dude. So like in one hand, we're gonna do whatever's right for the resources. On the other one, we're gonna do whatever's right for us to have that proxy war with Russia that we've been trying to get for decades and decades.
Actually, I think they're min-maxing.
And the worst part about it is
the
proxy war is because of private companies. Private companies from the United States own that cobalt, own all that material and everything else, and those chip factories. And they are telling the United States, no, it's cheaper here for us, so you better keep it, not China.
It's really funny because I had this conversation with Austin Peterson on his show too, where he's like, well, don't you think that the American military should protect like overseas, like American business interests? And I said, no, of course not. Any business in the world has to have their own like cost and risk analysis, dude. And if you're going to go and do business somewhere where you have to transit the Straits of Hormuz past Iran and their Scud missiles, you're taking on a lot of fucking risk there. A lot. And that's something that you should probably think about. Maybe you should do whatever that business is that you're doing there in the United States.
I suggest you call Eric Prince, Blackwater guy. Yeah, he might have some help for you.
Yeah, no shit, dude.
Or you could move it to like South America.
It's just like, if you decide that you want to do cheaper business overseas, you should assume all the risk for that. We're Americans. Absolutely. We want American businesses. We want American goods. And if we can diplomatically trade with other countries, fine. But if you're going to take your business, that's an American business, and go overseas and do business overseas in some shithole, right, where you have to transit places that are scary for Americans, you're assuming that risk. Not the U.S. federal government, not the U.S. American people. You, as a business owner, are assuming that risk. It's not our job to protect you over there. It's our job to protect you over here. So if you want to keep your business in America and make American goods and then trade with other countries, fine. If you want to make American goods and keep them in America, fine. But as soon as you start doing business in another country, it's your own. You have to hire your own security forces, buddy. Good luck. That's it.
Absolutely.
Because the free market will provide.
Pretty simple.
I don't understand why people think that the U.S. military has like all this like obligation to protect like business interests and resources in other countries that aren't ours and civil wars around the world that we're not involved in. Like, where did we ever get this obligation to do these things? I know a lot of it's United Nations, or I'm sorry, NATO. I don't know why I said, but a lot of it's NATO. Yeah, UN, same shit. NATO. It's a lot of it's NATO. You know, we're like the biggest contributor to NATO, right? So if we pulled out of NATO, NATO would be a lot like pretty fucked anyways, which would be just absolutely gorgeous to see happen.
That needs to be like a day one, thing for any president.
Oh, we're pulling out of NATO. If I get elected, it's a EO. We're done. We're done with NATO.
You failed in your personal life. You will succeed in office. Pulling out.
Did you catch that, Luke? Did you hear that?
No, I missed it.
He said, where I failed in my personal life, I will succeed in the office of president by pulling out. Messed up, dude. Funny, though.
That's
good
awesome.
Joke. Good joke, dude. We're going to bully you into having another kid in like the next 6 months. Don't worry, buddy.
I mean, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, the timeline will be...
I don't know if you've been watching the show, Luke, but Ryan's about to have a kid. And so like the first, I don't know, 6 months he was on the show, he's telling me and AJ... Oh no, we have to wait till my wife has paid off all of her loans, and we're gonna wait. Yeah. And they're like pushing 30 now. He's pushing 30 now, right? And I'm like, we bullied him into procreating early.
Like right now is when we would have been trying.
But yeah, he said we literally bullied the fuck out of him until he came to me one day and he's like, "Okay, we're having a baby." I was like, "Yo, yeah, dude, that's what I'm talking about."
I was on
you
the show
him 9 months early.
It was mid show when I found out.
Yeah, he found out while he was here
with
in the
Aiden
show,
Mathis.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And me and AJ bullied him into it because as somebody who just had a baby at 39 and is about to have another baby at 40, don't wait, man. Just do it. Just do it now.
We just hit fast forward on it. That's all.
Well, the birth rate is in a huge decline in the United States right now. We were talking about this in the debate yesterday or the town hall meeting. Well, you know, one of Chase's like plans to fix the dying birth rate was to immigrate a bunch of people or like, you know, migrate.
That doesn't work.
Huh?
That doesn't work.
Fuck?
I know it doesn't work, but also you got to remember that Chase is gay and can't repopulate the world anyways, right?
No,
so of course
can.
that's his like thing, right? He's like, well, we just got to migrate people over. No, motherfucker, we got to make babies.
Yeah. He can. He just has to suck it the fuck up.
No shit, right?
You can import surrogates.
Yucky, yucky, yucky. I told Chase yesterday, like, because I've hung out with Chase several times, and even yesterday, he's like super nice, right? He's got this campaign staffer that like wished death on me recently on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Stephanie, and I tagged him. I was like, is this your staff that's literally saying she hopes that I die? Because is that the only way you can beat me? Is that why you hope I die? Right. He came to me yesterday. He's like, hey, I just want to let you know that she's been talked to. Like, that's not ever going to happen again. Nobody on my staff will ever say anything like that to you again. Yeah. I was like, dude, big ups, bro.
Legit.
Like, that's really cool. And he's a nice guy. Chase is a nice guy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I fundamentally disagree with him on a ton of culture shit and some policy. But he's a really nice guy. Like, I sat down and had dinner with him in Atlanta, where he's from, you know, and he's always been super nice, dude. And he does get a lot of shit because he's trying to appeal to the progressive side of this movement. And that just, we as right-wing guys know that that just doesn't fucking work.
It's a strategy.
It's a strategy. It's certainly one of the strategies of all time, you know? It is. It is a strategy of all time. There's no doubt about it. A successful one, no. And I know that personally. I've tried to reach out to the progressives, and I used to be a little Wolbert and be like, oh, we gotta worry about racism and this and that and that. And, you know, we gotta LGBT rights. And it's like, nah, motherfucker, we are only talking about individual rights, dude, from now on, because that's what's important. Are you telling me that you have to have LGBTQ rights? That means you're not human. Because we're just talking about human rights here, buddy. It's all one thing. It's all one thing, right? And so we have fundamental disagreements, philosophical disagreements, and of course, culturally huge disagreements, right? Mm-hmm. But man, he's a nice guy. He's really cool. And he did good. He did pretty good in the town hall event. I think his answers were pretty canned, written out ahead of time, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just don't do that. It's not how I work. I can't, I can't do that. If I write out shit and then try to like remember it, I'll go in there and sound like the biggest dumbass ever. I have to come off the cuff. I have to like...
You're trying to remember what you wrote down.
Yeah, instead of just saying what I want to say, right? And and I think that's why I'm doing so well in this presidential race now is because I speak straight from the heart all the time. All the time. It's always directly from my heart. I have no canned responses to anything. Like, I know what I want to say. I know what the politics are. I know what policies I support to fix these things. But I'm never going to tell you the same way twice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's always going to be the same policy. It's never going to sound the same twice because it's always from the heart. It's not a canned response. I'm not practicing this in the mirror. I'm literally sitting down. We did that space with Josie the other night, Josie and Clint.
Yeah.
2.5 hour space, by the way.
Yep.
And I got home from work, like cooked dinner for my family, and sat down in front of the mic and went. Like I didn't do any preparation or anything for that. I didn't know what the questions were going to be. And there's like audience questions and like, this is just who I am. This is how I'm gonna. This is how I'm gonna compete, and this is what we're gonna do when we get into general too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna do. I'm not gonna go out there and like. I'm not. I don't need a speechwriter, man. Like, I'm just. This is who I am.
That's good.
It's all powerful. Like.
I think that's what people have been looking for.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to be honest, I think that's why Trump did so well, to be quite honest, in 2016 was, yeah, you know, I get it. He did have a lot of speech. He did have that speech writing and things like that. He had some of that. But there, the points that he did the best was when he was just swinging from the hip, you know, like he was just going after it. And that's what people loved about him. And I think that's what your campaign is doing. And like, people are like, yeah, I just want people to speak honestly. I think there's a lot of smoke and mirrors in just life in general these days, whether it's people's employers or even family relationships. I mean, the last few years, everything's gotten so crazy, especially culturally, that everybody's walking on eggshells. And there's a lot of people that are like you and like me and how Typo is and your co-hosts are. And we're just like, I'm not going to just tiptoe over everything I want to say. I'm going to tell you how I feel, and then we can go from there and we can work on what you want to hear. But yeah. I can't, I'm not a filter guy.
Yeah, no, not at all. And I think, 100%. Well, and I talked about this in the town hall last night too. I said, no, I don't have canned responses or anything like that, because I'm just a blue collar guy, dude. Like, I get up just like everybody else, and I put on boots like myself, just like everybody else, and I go to work just like everybody else, and I raise a family just like everybody else, and I've been through the family law system, and I, you know, I've dealt with the plight of being an American middle class family man, right? And like, there's so many of us that have felt that, but like, nobody in this class, right, like, thinks that they can like do what I'm doing right now. And yep. I think that, you know, that's another thing that resonates with people. It's like, oh, he's just like me. We've been through the same shit. And he's actually going out there and doing this stuff. And I hope that it inspires people. I hope that it inspires people like better than me that have been through this stuff to step up and do these things too. Run for Senate, run for Congress, run for your local school board. I don't care. But you can do these things. All you got to do is file. You got to file. And if you got a mouth and you can speak and you come up with policy, like, you can do these things. You know, and I hope there's more people that do. I really do hope that it's like an inspiration to more people in this, you know, in the middle and lower classes to go, hey, we can do this. We can. And there's enough. There's more of us than there are of them, dude. Way more. Way more.
And I think
absolutely.
I think flaws are kind of becoming fresh. Like, there's a rapper I'm a fan of that. That's a line he uses in one of his songs. Like, I think my flaws might be a benefit to me now.
Sure.
And I think politics is starting to trend that way a little bit, because we've had these canned sociopaths for so many years that people are like, you know what? I'll take the uncanned sociopath. Like, at least he's honest that, yeah, I'm a liar. I'm crazy. I'm kind of a narcissist, but you know what? I'm a do dumb shit, it might work.
I'll tell you what's been bothering me recently. I got involved in this shit in 2007, right? For Ron Paul,
mm-hmm.
who's the most honest statesman of my lifetime. There's no doubt about it. And I met a lot of people over the last, you know, almost 20 years now. Okay. We're talking 17, 16 years. I mean, it's been a long time. And every single one of those people that I've met through politics at some point has gotten to a point where it's all about the money now. It's no longer about the mission and the message. And I'm dealing with that right now. And I don't know. I don't want to sit here and like badmouth people, but there's people that I was very, 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 very fucking close to that I had their back till ride or die. No matter what, I had their back. Even when they were wrong, sometimes I had their back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I've watched them lose the plot. And now it's about the money, and it's no longer about the mission and the message. And that's the worst part about politics, dude, is that it corrupts the fuck out of people to a point where it's like they get this power complex, right? And like, I've never had that, dude, because I have a 5-foot Italian wife that tells me what to do. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm scared of my wife, my mom, and my God, right? But they put enough fear into me to know that like I need to stay this straight and narrow path and be who I am, because that's more important that I see a freer society for my children and my grandchildren than it is to make $100,000 over the next 6 years managing a campaign or something, right? Like, it's very important to me. Like, the mission is so important to me that I don't think I can, I'm uncorruptible, I guess you could say, right? Like, this has never been about the money for me. I know a lot of people are like, oh, Josh is only running this presidential campaign for money.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking libertarian, dude. Are you kidding me? What money?
It's a grift.
What money?
Yeah. It's a grift.
It's a grift. What money? They say they want to build, and I had a really good conversation about this with Andy, who picked me up from the airport in Denver, and he's like, you should try to enlarge your national profile if you're in politics and trying to make a difference. It's like, part of it is like, the bigger the platform, the more of a message you can pass on. So of course I want my like personal platform to get bigger. Yeah, of course I want that.
Yeah.
It's how I'm going to try and change the world, man. Right? But at the end of the day, the most important thing to me is changing the world and not the money. And I hate to see my friends switch and be about the money and no longer about the message and the getting those wins and moving the needle and, you know, kicking. We used to be the team of, we got to punt that fucking Overton window as far away as we can, right? Because the further the Overton window goes, the further we get towards peace and prosperity and freedom, right? And now it's like, we're going to do whatever we can to get money. And I know a lot of people that are listening to this know what the fuck I'm talking about right now. I know you do. And that's okay. That's okay. But that's where we're at, dude. And it sucks. It sucks watching it happen. But you know what? Because I've been honest, because I've kept true to our original mission, the people who started this with me in the beginning and have come along with me for the ride, and the people who I've been able to bring into the movement over the last 6 years and populate this thing with, they're coming with me again. And I see it every day, right? It doesn't matter what those other people are saying anymore, because they know that I've always been honest since the day one, right? It, to a fault. Like, even about my own personal issues and shit. Like, I've been honest about it. And they know that. And so, like, people are seeing that split and seeing that one side's definitely no longer about the messaging and they're more about what can we do to enrich our pockets. And that me, I'm over here on that same mission we started on in 2016. In 2007 when I campaigned for Ron Paul, right? I never changed. I've gotten more hardcore in my beliefs, you know?
I think there's a bigger contrast between you and the other candidates because of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's like maybe, I don't know if distilled is the right word. You're a little bit more distilled this time,
sure,
and very clear, and so that puts a bigger contrast between the people
right
behind you. Yep. Just more of a depth there.
Well, we gotta get going. We are gonna do an after hour show tonight. If you guys want to come hang out around 9 o'clock, we haven't done one in a while, so we're happy to do that with you guys tonight. Hey, Luke, where can people find you, listen to you, support you, all that good stuff, dude?
Yeah, you can find me at Keep It Real Luke on Twitter. That's my handle on basically everything. You can find my show at Biting the Bullet Podcast on Twitter. I also do another one with Adam Nutter, Samuel Urban, Kyle Matovic, and my
cast.
Buddy Typo.
What a cast, dude.
That's, yeah, dude. It's just like a fun one, you know, kind of a comedy. Like, we just riff off each other. It's called 5 Till Midnight. That's on every Monday. So that's the big one that I'm trying to push right now. So if you guys check that out, that'd be really cool.
Oh yeah, man. Well, thanks, Luke, for coming on, man. I really appreciate you. You're more than welcome to join us in the after hour show if you want. That's where you can say the F word a lot more. It's a lot of fun. Okay. You got anything? You got anything before we go, Ryan?
I mean, follow me on Twitter at BulldogGamer28. Like, comment, subscribe, share the show. Sharing it, commenting helps us in the algorithm. Helps us get this show out to more people. And just help spread the message.
AJ?
FJB. Yeah. I got to say for tonight. Yeah. FJB.
I like it. Yeah. Guys, go follow me on Twitter, Joshua at Large. Of course, you know I'm running for president. We have a $10,000 hard cap goal for the month of September to get invited to the South Carolina debates on November 11th. We are about $1,600 away from hitting that goal. But please go to joshuasmith2024.com and help us out where you can. You can also find a form to volunteer there. You can figure out how to become a delegate so you can come in and basically give one of the most impactful votes you could ever do in politics by voting for me to be the nominee at the national convention. Because 1,100 people choose the nominee. That's one of the most impactful votes you will ever have at the national level, period. So check out my website. There's a tab there called Become a Delegate. Tell you all about how to do that. And of course, email us. Let us know if you want to volunteer. We'll get you right into the chat. We got a great team, man. Lots of great people on the team. I'm stoked. Guys, we'll see you on next Thursday. I was going to have my buddy Chris Coffer on Thursday, who does the, he put out the Monopoly on Violence movie and also just did the Overpoliced movie that just came out and is now hitting all the streaming options. Great guy. Fortunately, he's got tickets to go see Oliver Anthony that night, so we're going to reschedule. So we'll have a new guest up for you by the beginning of the week. But I love you guys to death. I will see you next Thursday. But until then, don't forget to break the cycle. Bam.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and the frame, but I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. What Timber is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing, I mean, you know it. No product, it just gets it close to COVID.